Welcome in to the weekend watch list. How's everybody doing? It is Charlie here with you. We have another edition of the weekend watch list. It is the second weekend of January. It is divisional round weekend. It is, some say that this is the best weekend of football for the year. Should be some good matchups. We'll break those down after talking about the local hoops action we got going on this weekend. Also take a look at a few other games as well. So for those unfamiliar, first-time weekend watch listeners, we break down the local stuff first, and then we go national, and then talk about anything else after, preview the games, maybe talk a little bit about the line, look at that sort of thing, and that's sort of what we do here. This is a lot of fun. We enjoy it. We'll have a daily tap tomorrow. We'll talk about the Bucks Wizards, Badgers Boilermakers, and also look at maybe the Yasmani Grandal signing. I know we're a couple days late to that, but that is just how the timing worked out for us. All right, let's waste no more time. All right, talk first about the Marquette Golden Eagles taking on the Seton Hall Pirates. Yes, leading off of Marquette, mostly because the Bucks do not play any good opponents this weekend. But in all seriousness, this is a big game for Marquette. They are 3-1 right now in conference play. They are looking for another win against 2-1, actually. Excuse me. 2-1 in conference play, looking to go 3-1 against Seton Hall. Now, Seton Hall has been somewhat of a thorn in Marquette's side in the past. Seton Hall, very physical team, has disrupted Marquette. Now, granted, I would argue Marquette has the size with Theo John and Ed Morrow to compete, and this Seton Hall team isn't the same one that's been around for the last couple years. No Angel Delgado. Miles Powell still there. Miles Powell really is the only part of this offense. He has 22 points a game, and the rest of the team does not have a double-digit scorer. So it's either you let Miles Powell go off and you shut everybody else down, or you shut him down and let somebody else beat you. It's a classic case of this. Now, the other question is what will Marcus Howard do for an encore? So Marcus Howard had 53 points against Creighton, one of the more incredible performances. 14 of those came in overtime. You know, will Howard respond with another big game? The other part you're worried about with that Creighton game and how dramatic it was the letdown possibility of sort of just being sort of lagging in the early odds, because Seton Hall hit you in the mouth. So I think the first 10 minutes are massive for Marquette, and I think they really need to come out strong in order to win this game. But Seton Hall's all good, so I expect it to be a fight. I wouldn't be shocked if this is a 5-point game either way. I could definitely see Marquette losing. Would not surprise me. I would say it'd be a disappointment after what they did against Creighton, but you could argue they probably should have lost that Creighton game, and they got extremely lucky. All right, moving to the Bucks. So the Bucks have the Wizards tonight. I'm a little worried about that game tonight. They are about a 6.5-point favorite on the road. The Wizards have been a better team at home this year. They've been around 500. They're awful on the road. So this is the Bucks and Wizards' first matchup of the year. No John Wall. Bradley Beal is the catalyst here. So you'll see Middleton and Bledsoe probably on Beal. More Bledsoe than Middleton. And Giannis, I mean, they have nobody. Absolutely no one to stop Giannis. I believe Markieff Morris is still out with an injury. He has faced Giannis before, but he hasn't really done a great job against it. You know, Giannis and the Morris twins somehow have this weird beef with each other. It's definitely bizarre that they just do not like each other. And for whatever reason, that has sort of been an issue. It's bubbled for the Wizards. But yeah, they really do not have a guy where you're like, all right, they're going to take Giannis. Jeff Green, I guess, would be that guy, or Otto Porter, who's still working his way back from injury, but he's looked pretty healthy. He's had some big games. He had 29 in their win against the Sixers on Wednesday night. The other thing about, so mentioned about their home record, they're 12-7 at home, and they're like 4-17 on the road. So they're a respectable opponent at home. So Bucks got to be careful. It's been a tough place to play. Bucks have won some games there last year, but they've struggled. So just got to do your thing and sort of see it out, because this could definitely be a loss for the Bucks. They're going to get a fight. I would be shocked if they cover that 6.5. Seems like a lot for a road team against a pretty good home team. Moving back to college basketball, the Badgers also play tonight in the weird Big Ten. We have Friday night games sort of thing. They play the Purdue Boilermakers. Now, Purdue is not the same team they were last year. Purdue has lost a lot of their talent. Carson Edwards really is their only guy. Somewhat like Seton Hall, Carson Edwards is really the only dude. Purdue is going to be missing a couple players due to injury. I actually think this is a great matchup for the Badgers. I think a guy like Carson Edwards can be slowed down by Brad Davidson and Demetric Trice. So I don't really worry about this game. Ethan Happ should be able to get his. I mean, they don't have the Isaac Haas and the big boys down low sort of thing anymore that Purdue had for the last couple of years, which would inhibit Happ from really doing his thing. So he shouldn't really have that problem in this game, and I think that also plays well for the Badgers. I think this could be a really good win for Wisconsin. This is one you kind of have to have. Like, you got to start building that resume a little bit. You can't fall again to sort of a mid-tier Big Ten team if you're planning to be among the elite. So it should be a win for Wisconsin. They should be able to get it done on Friday night. Back to Milwaukee. So the Bucks, they're going to play the Hawks on Sunday, a 2:30 start. That is always a nervous one, right? Like, I know that, and maybe I'm just being a real Mitch Ross here about just sort of being pessimistic, but you just worry about the Sunday, because it's, first of all, you're in Atlanta for the day. So that, I mean, big party city, that screams hungover. Number two, the players just never seem the same on a Sunday. Granted, the Bucks this year have played a couple Sunday games, and they've actually been pretty good in those. The early, the Kings game they had earlier this year and a few others. So maybe they've cured those woes, but always a concern. They obviously whipped the Hawks back last Friday here at the Fiserv Forum in a game where I was on these airwaves and said, may worry about a letdown. So maybe I just don't want to be too cocky. Like, I hate being like, oh yeah, the Bucks are going to win. Like, the last time I kind of did that was against the Knicks at Madison Square Garden, that Saturday afternoon game, and I was like, yeah, the Bucks got this, like, no big deal, and then they lost. So I'm just providing you a reason about why they could lose. Now, if they lost both, obviously that would be terrible. Bucks Twitter would be ready to burn down, but I think they at least get one. I would not be surprised if they lose one, but 2-1 road trip is just fine with me, even though you would expect that one loss to be against Houston. That's still fine. All right, moving on to the NFL. So like we said, this is a great weekend. This is what you love as an NFL fan. Now, I think the AFC has more entertaining games than the NFC, actually. Starting with the Chiefs and the Colts. You have the Chiefs as a 5.5-point favorite at home playing the Indianapolis Colts. Now, the Colts and Chiefs have a torrid history in the playoffs. The Colts have beat the Chiefs 4 times in the playoffs. There have been some devastating losses in that mix. You have the Andrew Luck comeback game when the Chiefs led 35-3 and the Colts came all the way back to beat them. You have the Jim Harbaugh pull it out of his ass game in 1995. The Chiefs were one of the best teams in football. They played the Colts in a bitterly cold game in Arrowhead, and the Colts won 10-7. It was in, one of those games that just sort of blew your mind. This Colts team was sort of out of nowhere. They then played the Steelers and were a Hail Mary away from nearly beating the Steelers and getting into the Super Bowl and sort of this Cinderella story. And so they've had issues. This is a team that if you're going to want to cure these demons, if the Chiefs want to finally get over the hump, this is a team to get over the hump with. Patrick Mahomes first first playoff game, which obviously there'll be some nerves there. But I think once he settles in, he should be all right. The zone defense that the Colts possess actually works really well for Patrick Mahomes. He's been pretty good against zones. Travis Kelce, I think, is going to have a massive day. I think this is a huge Travis Kelce spot. I think he actually is the difference in this game. I think they can compete. I think Andrew Luck will compete in this. But at the end of the day, I have the Chiefs winning by 10. I think it ends up being somewhere around 34-24. It's a good game. It's a fun game. But I think Mahomes gets one more touchdown to kind of seal it as the dagger. I don't think it's going to phase him that much. But I will tell you, if the Chiefs start slow, the nervousness in that stadium is going to get really obvious and apparent. And it will not shock me in the slightest. Moving to the other AFC game, the Chargers-Patriots. This is on Sunday. 12:05 start. You have the Los Angeles Chargers headed to New England. Los Angeles is 7-1 away from home. They're undefeated outside of California. The Patriots have not lost at home, so something has to give here. There's a lot of this is Phil Rivers' destiny. This is a destiny sort of thing. The Patriots, you know, have been not the same team that they've been throughout the years. It's really hard to win in Foxborough. I worry about that for Phil Rivers and the Chargers. I do think there is something special going on with that team. I like the Chargers. I think they're going to win this game. The part of it is that, first of all, the Patriots defense really isn't that good. I think the Chargers can run all over them. If Melvin Gordon, I do worry a little bit about Melvin Gordon's health, but Austin Eckler should be full strength. Austin Eckler is probably the best backup, one of the best backup running backs that they have in the NFL. So I think they're going to really stomp all over him. I think they're going to control the clock, keep Brady off the field. I just think they have a lot. I just trying to think where the Patriots could expose the Chargers, maybe in the run game, but even then, I still think you're going to need a couple big plays from Brady, and that Chargers secondary is damn good. So I have the Chargers taking this. I have an all AFC West showdown for the Super Bowl, Chargers and Chiefs, and that'll be a great matchup if that does happen. So if that does come to fruition. If you remember, my picks were not the best last week. Did I go 2-2? I think I picked the Seahawks. I actually bet on the Cowboys, but I took the Seahawks. And so I think I went 2-2 last week. Oh no, I went 1-3 because I took the Bears. Whoops. All right. Moving to the NFC. Speaking of those Cowboys, the Cowboys and Rams on Saturday night. Hopefully Fox and Spectrum can work it out like adults. If not, we don't have that game and I have to go somewhere to watch that because for whatever reason, Fox and Spectrum are at complete odds. So I may have to watch both games out of my comfort of my home. Cowboys Rams, I have no problem with that Saturday night. Always good to get out on the Saturday night of the divisional round. So very interested to see the crowd for this game. So the idea of the Rams and Cowboys, they said Bill Simmons texted Nathan Hubbard, who used to work for Ticketmaster. Nathan Hubbard said probably around 40-60. If there's rain, expected to be more close to 60% Cowboys fans. Definitely not a home field advantage for Jared Goff and the Rams. I think there's a lot of questions about how good is Jared Goff. The other thing that needs to be considered, I haven't heard a lot of people talk about, is the Cowboys really haven't traveled well this year. They're 3-5 on the road. I guess, what is your favorite Cowboys road win? Everything the Cowboys have done this year has been at the comfort of their own home. If you look at the good teams they've faced this year, they have not really beat anybody besides the Eagles on the road. That is probably their best road win. Other than that, they lost to the Panthers. They lost to the Seahawks. They lost to the Texans. You know, those are all playoff teams that they lost to on the road. Now, they also beat the Falcons, but really, what's the Falcons on the road? That's nothing. That doesn't mean anything to me. They also got shut out by the Colts a couple weeks ago on the road. So the point of it is that the Cowboys really have not done it on the road. And they can run on the Rams, definitely. The Rams are not good against the run. Could be a massive Zeke Elliott game, and they could control the clock and be this in their favor. And Todd Gurley might struggle against a very good run defense in the Dallas Cowboys. But I like the talent of the Rams. I think that Aaron Donald makes a difference. Dak has to make a couple big plays, and I just don't see it happening with that pass rush. I also do like Todd Gurley, and I think the reason, I know Gurley could get bottled up, but I think they use him more in the passing game, and I think that proves to be pretty successful for Los Angeles. And I can also see a big game from a Rob Woods type, you know, getting it done. I realize Jared Goff has not been the same quarterback. I actually think this game will be close. I think it's going to be about 27-24. 24 seems to be my number. So I said that for another game. 27-23. That's where I have the Rams Cowboys. I don't think LA covers. I think this is a close game. I think this is down to the wire, but I have the Rams pulling it out and getting it done. If the Rams don't win, there'll be a lot of Sean McVay in the playoffs sort of questions. Trust me, that will be a definite thing. I didn't give a points for the Chargers Patriots. I got Chargers 31, Patriots 20. That I know that's a big score, but I really love the Chargers. I've been on that Chargers bandwagon for a little while now. Saints Eagles, the theme of Saints Eagles has been, can Nick Foles really do this again? We know that the Eagles got blown out in the same stadium, same dome, about a month ago. It was 48-7. It was an absolute ass-kicking by the Saints. I think the Saints can do some of the similar things again. I hate to say it for the Eagles, and you're like, you're going to doubt Nick Foles again. You're going to doubt Big Dick Nick. Well, here's the thing. The Saints offense is a juggernaut. The Saints, they're not dealing with Mitch Trubisky. Drew Brees got a week off. Drew Brees got some time to get right. They can pick on Avon Maddox all day long with Michael Thomas. Michael Thomas is going to have if you're telling me who's going to have the biggest games of the weekend, in no order, it's going to be Travis Kelce, Mike Thomas, and Ezekiel Elliott. That, to me, those are the three guys that I think have the biggest upside of the weekend, who could win the weekend. If you're like, who is the one guy we're talking about on Monday morning at the water cooler, which no one talks at a water cooler anymore, at the filtered water refrigerator, you're talking about any of those guys. And I really think the Saints will go off in this game. I think the Eagles keep it a little closer than 48-7. But at the end of the day, I think the dream ends. I think the Saints win 35-14. I don't think it's that close. I think New Orleans is a juggernaut and a wagon. I just cannot picture a close game with them at the Superdome. There have been teams who've kept it close, but they need turnovers. They need things. I would be surprised. The Saints in the playoffs in the years ago, or in the last few years, when you go into that dome, it is an absolute terror. It's probably one of the toughest places to play, and I just don't see the Eagles doing it. Now, if they do, I don't know what to think about Nick Foles anymore. There's a lot of things that will go on my head if Nick Foles pulls this one out. All right, wrapping up the show with a couple other hoops games to pay attention to. You have the Duke-Florida State matchup. You have a lot of actually top-ranked teams heading on the road this weekend. Could be an upset sort of Saturday. Duke, Florida State, Zion Williamson heads to Tallahassee. A lot of hype around that game, 1 o'clock start. Duke has struggled in the past at Florida State. Now, the Seminoles have already kind of been through the ringer. They went to Virginia, got smacked by the Hoos. Then they came home to play Miami. Miami's not that good, but it's a rivalry game. It was a close game. So you ask yourself, what do you really expect here from Florida State? And they have the talent to play with Duke. They can absolutely play with Duke. Now, not having Terrence Mann's been battling an injury. That would be a concern. Mann played a little bit. I don't know how much he played against Miami, but that could be a major issue. I like Duke. I don't know where that line's going to go. If it's anything under six, I'd ride with Duke. If it's anything over six, I'd probably go Florida State. That to me is where I land on that one. Tennessee and Florida. Tennessee kind of takes their show on the road. Some people think Tennessee is the best team in the country. Tennessee has shown that the road doesn't really scare them. They beat down a decent Missouri team. I wouldn't say Missouri's that good, but they won 87-63. I mean, they've been just pummeling teams. They now face Florida, one of their rivals. It's more of a football rivalry, but I think it still carries in a basketball sense. And you have to, Florida, if you're Florida, who had a bad, bad loss to South Carolina last Saturday, they were up by 14 at halftime. They blow the lead, and then South Carolina wins on a last-second shot. Florida did recover with a big win at Arkansas, but this would be a huge resume builder for a Florida team that's looking more and more like a bubble team. This would be a great early conference win for them. You know that that's going to be in their heads. I think I like Florida just as a home team. I know this Tennessee team's really good, and I'll keep paying the price for them on the road, but I don't know if I can see them smacking. I think it's going to be about a 10-point spread. I just do not, I can't envision Tennessee just laying the beat down again. But who knows? Maybe they will. All right, we'll be back next week. We'll talk about championship week and whatever else is going on in the sports world. All right, we'll be back with Daily Tap tomorrow, not just next week. We'll talk to you tomorrow about all the things and look forward to doing that. All right, take care, guys. Bye.